There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Yes Chef listeners. How are you? Good. Me and Ben. Ben Smith,
Ben
Jordan
and
Smith. Ben and I sat in a park in Bermondsey about to interview the Godfather. I was going to say the godfather of Spanish soul, but he's not, he's the godfather of Spanish food.
Oh, he's a good dancer, I heard.
Jose, may I say, Pizarro.
Yeah, this guy has got Bermondsey Street on lockdown.
He has, mate.
How many restaurants has he got? He's got Jose, he's got Pizarro, he's got Jose Pizarro. Hey, I wonder if he has a middle name.
I was going to say, we need to get in there and have a crack with him anyway, and hopefully he'll feed us a bit of tapas. But anyway, have a great day, enjoy the show, and we'll see you very, very soon. Monday, busy. So it's busy down Bermondsey Street all the time, I guess.
Bermondsey is just mad.
It's crazy. Because last time I've been down here, and it's always summer when I come down. It's like Maltby Street, this kind of... But when you come down, even now, 9 o'clock in the morning, heaving.
I opened, Jose, May 2011.
So that was before the Bermondsey got...
And was like, people were telling me, why in Bermondsey? That is not a place to go. You know, it was like, you're crazy. You're going to open your first business in one place. Is that? We'll see. And now you can see Bermondsey is just unbelievable. It's just more places opening and more to open. And I hope good ones, you know, because it's important to be around good people.
Definitely.
That is,
and you've seen it change as well, I guess, haven't you?
Totally. Before was no one around. You know, it was like... What is cool? What is going to happen? It's going to be busy. It's going to be busy. No one around here. No. It's changing a lot. Like you can see now, even Sundays than before was dead. It's super busy.
It's kind of the place you come with, the couple's place to come, Bermondsey. Yeah. I always think it's a really nice place to come with your girlfriend or your partner, just to come down here because it's so pretty and so nice and everyone's a bit...
Bit of romance.
Bit of romance. It's a bit...
Everyone smiles.
Yeah, everyone's happy.
It's lovely. Definitely, I'm very happy here. I was living in Bermondsey until a year now. And one way I really do missing to live. You know, in another way, it's good for me to disconnect.
Yeah, switch off a little
switch
bit.
Switch off, because it was really, really intense.
Yeah, I bet.
Hard being close to your work sometimes, though, because sometimes you can't. You know what I mean?
No, but for me, it was like, in some point, where it was like, my partner say, it's time for you to move. Because just never disconnect, always. But yeah, it's good. It's good. Bermondsey, definitely. It's a very... How do you call that? Neighborhood, hop or hub, but just the lovely people.
Strong, you know, community.
Strong community. People I know for 9 years now. And they are family. That is important. You know, Spanish, I think we need to feel part of the community. And I grew up in a small village, 800 people living there, and the community always been very part, important part.
You know everybody.
I know everybody. You know, sometimes it's just from Jose to Pizarro, it's just like 1 hour. 1 hour to just talking. And I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's lovely area. Lovely area. And to be part of that community here is good. It's the same thing that's happening now in the pub. people go there every single day to have a pint or have a pint or whatever.
To switch off.
And it's really lovely. Just even it's only 2 weeks that we are open or something like that. And
that's the pub?
The pub. And it's really a strong feeling of community.
That must be very different to what you're used to here.
Yeah, it's quite different, but at the same time, it's
feels
really
familiar. Yeah,
I already love it.
Yeah,
already feel there like I want to spend more time here, because seriously, it's again that community feeling is great.
Can we go? I was going to come back to it later, actually, but now we're talking about the pub. Why have two restaurants that are, you know, I know it's crazy running two restaurants and then going, you know what, let's open a pub miles away as well. What made you, what drove you to go,
always,
this is a change?
Always I wanted to have a pub. Well, always. Since I think like 6-7 years since I opened Jose.
Your granddad used to have a bar.
And always pub and Spanish bars are really similar. And more when they are away, you know, and they are the local pub. You go in, my local, in my village, you go there for a caña and a piece of tapa. You go to a pub and you had your pint and something else. Maybe not. And it's the place to go to see your friends. It's the place that you go to forget running out from your partner and your dogs and whatever. And it's the same feeling. It's exactly the same. My village bar than my pub in Surrey. Pub is that. It's that community feeling. Like we said before. Simple as that.
It's a safe place.
It's a safe place. Mm. It's where you have your friends and you just switch off.
I think the older you get with pubs, I think when you're younger, you look at them with places to go and it's like, you know, get drunk. The older you get, you realise it's the place you go that's just like your second living room.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, you go there and you feel dead comfy. For me, it's the happy place, and my girlfriend doesn't like me saying that, the pub. But when I go with a friend, it's like, switch off, I can talk about anything, and then, you know, it's that nice couple of hours, perfect.
But it has to be a pub somewhere like that, somewhere local, you know? Central London, well, many of them, no? But that kind of pub in the middle of it's just really, really incredible. It's my happy place at the moment.
And how did you choose that pub?
Friend of mine, he on the list. And Claude Bossy, he was there before. And Claude, I think now he's going to get 3 Michelin star this year. And he want to be really focused in that. And my friends say, Claude is going. Do you want to take it? I know the area. I have friends there. And I went and I just fell in love. Because big windows, the sun is coming in. It's lovely. And simple as that. And
That's easy.
But after 3 weeks, they are like 16 hours every day. But yeah, it's open now.
Did you think you were going to be a landlord?
No, definitely not. I was looking. When I opened Jose, the tapas bar, always I wanted to have my little tapas bar, you know? Like we say again, a local place like you have in Seville or you have in my village, and then Pizarro. And it was like, in some point, that point, I was like, you know what? Little pub will be nice. And I opened in Brockgate 4 years ago. And now, yeah, pub, landlord.
Big journey.
I'm enjoying, you know, I enjoy every single day. Yeah. If you don't enjoy in this job,
that's when you stop.
You're in the wrong game then.
Totally. You have to be, you know, every day is running for business plus more business around is quite
challenging.
But I have to say, I am the family, the whole team is incredible.
I was just about to say the team. That's what you need.
It's about people working hard and enjoying it. The important thing to have fun, you know?
Yeah.
And every day is a journey. Every day is something new. And
beautiful.
It's good. It's good.
Well, let's go back to growing up in Spain,
mm-hmm.
and let's see if we can get some of your very first food memories as a kid.
As a kid,
yeah,
I was never allowed to be in the kitchen. I was like, you go away from here. My mom always. I grew up in a village, like I say before. In my mom and my dad spent all their life together working in a farm. You know, from 5 in the morning, milking the cows until whatever. And the time for my mom in the kitchen was very important. You know, the food for us is the base to be everyone together around the table. But was no time for anything else. Was no time for me to go to the kitchen and start playing with her. Just you go away from here. But every morning I have something just make for me, you know, before the school. You have churros or you have, you know, that is my first memories. The waking up with the breakfast ready. It's
fresh.
It's fresh, you know, just bread, olive oil and things like that. And yes, it's the first memories here. Always I never forget is fresh milk from the cow.
Beautiful.
You know, that
still
flavor,
warm.
Still warm. That flavor is special. It's really, yeah, bring you back 40 or more, 45 years maybe.
Stunning.
Yeah. And running around, you know, to be in a farm and to be able to know and to discover flavors that always are going to be with you forever, you know? That flavor, or that, you know, the milk, you know, the fresh cheese made the day before or even the same day, all related to food, it's always will be in my, you know,
yeah,
in my brain.
You've seen exactly where it's come from. So yeah. That is an education growing up as a kid. That,
even without, it's normal thing when you are in a farm. And I never thought I'm going to be a chef, definitely. All those combos, all of that flavor that my mom was playing with, because it's in the lung, it's what you have. It was, I think that it's inside my brains and it's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So what always I say to everyone, childs need to understand food since they are children. They need to know where the food is coming from. And that will make a huge difference when you grow up. Definitely.
So were you a fussy eater, or were you just kind of whatever was put in front of you? Were like, yeah, I'm gonna try.
I was quite naughty to say.
Most kids are.
I was like running around from many times from food to go to play with my friends, but always I try everything. You know, if you don't have for lunch, you will have for dinner. As simple as that.
You get what you're given. That's what my grandma used to say. You get what you're given. And the thing is, the best thing about getting what you're given is you try everything.
Everything.
And you have
everything.
To eat.
You know? Is it editable? I will try anything. But yeah, that's my memories. Is the waking up every day with some food on the plate. That was important, I think.
So was there, when did you think... When did food really become interesting for you then?
Food has been always interesting for me, but never I thought it's going to be my job. No, never. Because my grandfather, he has a bar in the village, but it's not a bar, you know, we give away some tapas like we do in, you know, everywhere in Spain. Always been interesting, but never thought, like we say, I'm going to be a chef until I finished my studies. I studied dentist technician, and I was doing a course. I was waiting for a job in Seville. I did a course, start a course, and I was like, to be sitting in a desk, and then to be with people, was like, definitely I don't want to be sitting in a desk. I want to be with people, and yeah. then is when I really start understanding what it's all about, you know.
Right.
Restaurant.
Which is different because, you know, having food is so important in Spanish culture because it's family time, right? So that interest didn't really spark from your mother cooking food in the kitchen. It happened later. I find that really...
It's what it is. Yeah. And always I saw my grandmother as well. It's everyone say the same, but it's true that those memories is what make everything completely different. Yeah. You know, all the smells that always will be... You know, when I do ice cabbage now, take me to 45 years ago when my grandmother was making that escabeche for Christmas. You know, those smells to vinegar, to all those vegetables coming.
Never go away, will it?
Never go away.
So funny that, isn't never, it? No matter how famous you are, how many restaurants you have and all that, you still remember that one thing. It's like, I still remember gravy, my grandma's gravy or anything, weird stuff like that. Because it's a smell, isn't it? And it's the
memories is to see the old lady, you know, just spending time in the kitchen.
I want to know more about this bar, please. I want to know, because I think whenever I go to Spain, and I remember the first time I went to Andalusia, I ordered just half a beer, and someone brought me out some paella. And I was like, no, I didn't order any. And he's like, no, it's free. I was like, no.
Nothing is free.
No. I'm Northern, and I'll be here every day. Do you know what I mean? So, but it was that thing of, and then I remember someone who we were there with said, no, Andalusia is, you get this. And I ordered my third pint. I was getting tripe. And I was like, this is incredible. And like my girlfriend had a Fanta. Do you know what I mean? So we weren't like, we're not buying bottles of champagne. Do you know what I mean? Why did this start? You know, this culture, and how do they afford to live life?
How it starts, supposed to be around Andalusia, now it's quite popular everywhere in Spain. Tapa mean lit. Lit, to cover something. And many, many years ago, was, you know, bars full of flies. And what they say is it starts, someone puts a piece of cheese or a piece of... chorizo on top of a glass to stop the flying going into the drinks. And then say, the people start, okay, give me the tapa. And it's how everything starts, really. And got so popular that, if you go to Granada or Córdoba, you don't get a tapa. You get like a
plate,
a starter.
I love it. Yeah. Funny enough, I think it's...
I'm telling you, you can go out and have lunch without pay any money in food.
How is that sustainable?
That is my question. Because how you can make... Because we are not talking about giving a piece of bread or whatever, no?
Or some crisps and really some olives, yeah.
So you're getting a really lovely, proper, quality food in front of you. And I do my numbers, I say, I don't know how you can do that. Definitely, I cannot do that in London.
And then the beer's a euro. So you think to yourself, I'm not, you know, if I was London, £5 for
£5
a beer.
£5 for a beer, and you don't get nothing at all.
You wouldn't get a pork scratching.
No, you don't even get a smile.
No, you don't.
Hopefully a smile in my places anyway.
No, definitely.
But it's how everything starts. And I think it's quite good because when you are having a drink and you're having some food in your stomach, you can, you know what I mean, keep him drinking and without get too drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the point. And you go one place to another place and, you know, in a big village, you know them in San Sebastian, for example, you go one place and you have the best cod and you go on the next one and you have the best sucking pig. And, you know all the places. And it's great. Yeah. It's really sociable and it's, we should do that here.
I know. I was going to say we should do.
We need to go open more tapas bar.
I was going to say, Jose, us two, us three, we should go for a little tapas bar crawl in London. Try and get free cod in every place.
Take a euros, yeah.
No, in San Sebastian you have to pay for. Yeah, that is more all around south.
When you go back, do you go back to your village, or do you visit a lot, or what?
Lots. You know, my mum is still there, and now I'm allowed to be in the kitchen.
No, I was going to say, I bet she makes you cook now, don't she?
I can now to cook. She is still making the best omelette in the world, but it's nothing I can compare. She's the best. I try to go quite often. it's important to escape and to see your friends. And, you know, I love it. I love and traveling all over Spain. It's important for me to see what is going on there, to
find
new ingredients, to meet new suppliers. I go there quite a lot. Not enough, but always. Always important for me to.
Four restaurants.
Yeah.
And a pub.
Three and a pub. Yeah. It's a challenge. But it's all about the people you have around you. And I have to say, at the moment, I have very good family. Very good family. Leave me too. And I think sometimes they are happy than, yes, go. Go away.
So let's go back a little bit where you first got the interest of when food became interesting for you. You just finished your studies,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, right, that's when you made a conscious decision to be, I want to be involved in food. Or did you think, right, I actually want to be chef?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you, what was that transition?
Was very simple, I have to say, very simple and very quick. Because when I was studying, I was 20, I'm 47 now, 22 or 23, I think, or something like that. And I start the course, well, look, supposed to be 3 months. And then in that course, you have to go to restaurants you have to start since the kitchen porter, the whole way and up.
So you're still in Spain at this point,
still
right?
In Spain, yeah. And it was like that. Just say, I want to do this. I want to carry on studying. But at the same time, I have to work, you know. I'm 20-something, need to... I start... And studying and working, and was a point that studying was not possible, you know, to do double every day and then try to go to school, but impossible. I left and I started working in one restaurant, full time.
So that was the first job you had in a kitchen?
Yeah, was like helping one girl. She was really strong, Anna, and I have to say she was like I don't want to say any name, but really strong with me. And that helped me a lot because teach me the base, you know, and how you need to organize, how clean you have to be and how methodic to
run. She kicked your ass. She you kicked know? Your ass.
Yeah. I didn't want to say that, but
God,
yeah.
She exactly. kicked your ass. It's good that, though. You need that at 22. You know? If someone was soft with you, I don't think you'd be sat here.
And that was the start. And then slowly, working like a donkey, try to visit many restaurants I could to see what's going on. And that's it. I left studies and just work, and it's going to be 25 years as a chef this year.
You're looking good, man. I'm telling you,
my hip is suffering. 25 years as a chef and 20 years living here in the UK. And the time passed so quick. I just like gone, you know. But every day is like we say, something new. Every day something happens, and it's incredible. You know, it's incredible to be in a place like London with so many things going on, and just learning every day. You know, learning, seeing. London, definitely the place I cannot live. And you know, many people say, when are you going back to Spain? Or I will go back. I maybe spend more time there, but the vibe, the diversity, the colors, the smell, the people is what drive me every day.
So the big move to London, that must have been a bit scary.
It was like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't think about it too much, just...
Like that. I wanted to learn different cuisines. And we are talking about 20 years ago. Now you can see different cuisines in Spain, but... Spain was like really Spanish wine, Spanish. If you want to do something else, or do you want to do some creativity to bring to you? It was not possible. There was not that diversity there. And still,
even in big cities like Madrid and stuff.
Nothing. No, you have, but not like here at all.
Mm.
The Chinese in my city, no Madrid, was like, you don't go there because it's not...
It's not good.
Don't go. And it's one of the reasons I came here. Friend of mine, I met a girl in Madrid, friend of my friend, and she said, go to London because, you know, it's not many Spanish chefs in that time. and definitely you will learn a lot. And I say to her, if I can have a sofa to sleep for a week or a few days, I'm there in a month. Yeah, yeah, everyone say that. I was here in a month.
Knocking at the door. Knocking the door.
I'm looking for a job. The only thing I could say in that time, I'm looking for a job. And that was difficult. Difficult because, you know, in that time I was with Julio Reollo. I was head chef in one Michelin star in Madrid. And coming here and try to do, you know,
the same, yeah,
good job was like, no, you can be kitchen porter, a very important job. But you doing the as a kitchen porter, you really don't learn what I wanted to learn, you know?
So how did you push that through to make sure that it happened?
What do you mean? How?
Well, if you've gone from, you know, working in places in Spain, and then almost you come into London to start something new, and it's like almost starting again a little bit, it's going backwards a little bit. So yeah, you've got to push that through to make sure that
you have to. In the end, I thought, let's look for a job in a Spanish restaurant, and then, you know, start learning around. And I went to a Spanish restaurant. I got that job, and that's it.
That's Gaudi, right?
Gaudi.
How was that?
Well, interesting. With you coming from Madrid, was really lovely time for me. Amazing people I met, and lovely weekends, you know. It was a big club down there. And that was interesting. I was doing kind of a game, new cuisine, with Nacho. Nacho was the head chef there, and I was his second. And yeah, it was an interesting time for me. But I saw not many people understood about Spanish cuisine, that kind of Spanish cuisine. You know, when you are doing foams and you are doing kind of... people didn't understand at all because the people didn't know the base of the Spanish.
So the chefs or the customers?
The customers. The customer. You know, you can see that people didn't understand about Iberico, maybe. They didn't understand about if you don't understand olive oils, and you don't understand paprikas, pimentons, and I don't think you will never understand the new cuisine, you know? You have to
start at the base. It's like any good stock, yeah, or whatever,
and,
isn't it?
And was not many, was some Spanish restaurant, but not many, and like it's now. That was quite shocking for me to say. I don't think people understand jamón ibérico. People pay 20, 25 pounds for a plate of ham. I was like, you crazy Spaniards. No? And you see the difference, these 20 years, then I think I'm selling now more than 500 hams a year.
I just want to buy one ham. Whenever I go to the airport and you can get ham pillows, you know, like a big Yambon pillow, I'm just like, I'm going to bring one for you.
I was almost like that, one fair to another fair, like with my ham, giving away to people to understand. Parma ham. It's no Parma ham. I love Parma ham, but it's something else. That was quite shocking 20 years ago, but now everyone do understand the qualities of Spanish cuisine. They understand the olive oils, they understand the saffron that we have, they do understand that simplicity of those stunning, amazing flavors.
I still think people think price-wise means it's good for stuff like olive oil and stuff like that. You know, in my head, when I go somewhere, I know, and I look at these expensive olive oils and like your Whole Foods and that, I'm thinking that you can go somewhere and get an absolute belting bottle of olive oil for £6. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Rather than 20.
To make an olive oil, a very good olive oil,
okay,
is costing a lot of money. I don't want to say that all expensive olive oil are good, yeah, but to produce a very good olive oil is costing money. The olive oil I have now is costing £15 here. I'm telling you, it's so much behind that bottle that people don't understand. To produce 1 liter of that olive oil, you need 11 kilos of olives.
Wow.
That fruit go from the tree to the tanks in less than six hours. And every single olives is picked by hand.
That's crazy.
A lot of love.
It's,
if you'd have thought 20 years ago, if you'd have said that people were buying olive, one of those things that I think it was just like, it wasn't a thing when we were growing up. We didn't have olive, you know, you had bloody crisp and dry.
But it's, you know, it's olive oil is so, so important. And when you try, olive oil is a juice. And the sooner that you use it, the better. It's lots of work behind something good. It's a lot of, you know, like we say about jamón ibérico, you pay £26 or £28 for 60 grams in a restaurant. You think, wow, it's a lot. But when you understand the whole process, how the animal has to be treated, how those animals eat, the land those animals need to grow, to get that quality, it's amazing.
Your face you look so happy talking about olive oil and ham. You know, so it's like, so you're talking about going to visit the suppliers. I mean, do you think, you know, being successful and doing that, going and visit the suppliers, it must have helped so much, having that relationship, you know, and building that.
To sit down with someone and they have that passion for something and to learn how that cheese is produced, to know how those pigs grow, it's just learning, you know, sitting next to someone they know so much about something. It's made me happy. It's made me happy. Just look, and then privilege. And then I will be able to talk to you about that, and to talk to the family, to tell to the customer. The whole process is amazing, no? Coming from the small village and coming to London to be able to say, you know, try this, because I know you are going to be happy. I put pork, Iberico pork, on the menu, medium rare. We are talking about was with David Eyre, and David was like, "You're crazy! You cannot put Iberico pork rare in this country." I said, "Come on!" I explain everything, you know, because I grew up with that. And come on, you crazy Spaniard! Let's do it. And I did.
People love it.
People love it. And that, you know, and now you can buy Iberico pork. It's not from me, but now you can see Iberico pork in Waitrose.
Yeah.
You know, it's only 17 years, really. But be able to know those people, to put so much love in something. And yeah.
It's crazy how close Spain is. And it's like such a foreign thing away. Yeah. 17 years, and how much the palate's changed in the country. Do you feel that you've kind of one of the first, to bring it over here, and it's got a privilege for that?
I'm very happy to be able to put one stone in this country to show, you know, my customer about the great things that we have in Spain. And if I put a little stone, I'm happy with that.
But you really do champion Spanish produce. Mm. So when you, or just before you got your very own restaurant, was that idea to like deliver something that was a little bit different? Because
totally.
Like you said before, you know, you're spotting things that aren't there. Mm. You're like almost shocked how people go into Spanish restaurants and it's kind of not authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So you really wanted to bring that here.
When I was in Gaudi and I saw what we said before, you know, that real people didn't realize what, you know, the traditional great Spanish food was and didn't understand the new cuisine, blah, blah, blah. David Eyre told me, you know, I'm opening this restaurant. And for me, it was like, I love his food. And I go with you. And he teach me so much about herbs. In Spain, we don't use many herbs, we have to say. And he teach me so much. And I went back to my roots. You know what I mean? I went back to that roast that we do so well in Spain. Or we go back to that whole fish that I saw my family. It was completely going back again, back to a child, to play and learn. And I was lucky because I knew so many new techniques you know, through all those Michelin star, all of those eating out, and was like putting all that technique in the traditional recipes. That means that you really make the butter from, you know, crispier, or you know how to cook everything better. But going back to my roots. And that was the time I thought, I really want to push the traditional Spanish food in this country. And I did with David for 2 years, and then Brindisa Monica from Brindisa, she told me that she was opening a restaurant to showcase her products. And I said, I want to be there. And that time, I think people really start understanding, you know, the interest in Spain, in Spanish food.
So was there a time, or can you kind of pinpoint when you were cooking and then you really sort of found your own confidence?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that stands out? You're like, actually, I'm bossing this. This is me.
Definitely when I left Gaudi and I went to David, definitely for me was like, this is my life. It's what I want to do. I want to go back and cook extremely well, hopefully, Spanish, simple Spanish, and give away to everyone to try our olive oils, to try the ham, to try, like we say, paprikas, cheeses, and cheese that people never thought about. And I think I know about this, and I want to tell people about that. And we bring this, I was just really, you know, bam. Monica helped me a lot to meet suppliers in Spain, and yeah, it was really interesting that time for me. And I for like 6 months I was working Borough Market as well, helping Brindisa before we opened the restaurant. And I started meeting, you know, met new suppliers as well from here. And those was the timing that I do realize how amazing ingredients we have here in the UK, you know, amazing Spain, and with the amazing ingredients from here, it's just the perfect combo. But it was all about flavors that people didn't understand, you know, why gambas, you know, we have the most incredible gambas in Spain, and when you try something like that, it's just like
blows your head off, yeah.
And it sounds something very simple. You know, simple problem. You don't have to do anything else.
Yeah. I remember you saying that. I remember, it must have been a couple of years ago now, there was we had a big dinner here, and you were doing a demonstration, yep, in the kitchen, and you kept telling everyone that the most important thing is to keep it simple. Let the produce kind of speak for itself.
Mm. It's what I do. Yeah. And I'm still doing that for the last 18 years now. Since I left Gaudi.
It's a bit full circle though, isn't it? Because like we talked, you know, 10 minutes ago just about the kind of simplicity of when you're growing up and like your grandma's or your mum's first little for the food you get. Then you go, most chefs go and do like the really Michelin style, like the foams. Then you go all the way back round and you realise, well, actually, just the products speak for themselves, the anchovies and olive oil, or the cheese, the manchego. The simple, simple things are the ones you remember when you leave the restaurant, not the foam on top of this. It's the beautifully cooked one piece of meat. It's the, you know, the bread.
I have yesterday in the pub a simple roast.
I saw that roast.
And I was so happy. yeah, simple is good. Simple. I do love to go to see my friends, you know, Michelin star. I love to see the creativity they have. I love to, but at the same time, I love just to go to, you know, have a nice plate of pasta from Angela Harnett, and I'm more than happy with that.
Yeah.
I think I'd be more than happy with that. Jesus Christ. You're going to say I got a Pret.
No. But it's important to see what the people do around. You know, it's so much creativity, so much, you know, those big chef doing incredible things. But for me, I think every day is a nice piece of fish cooked properly, and I'm happy.
Yeah. Wins every time. Happy.
Yeah.
Having your three places and a pub, I mean, is that the thing that drives you mostly though? Because are you the on the pass all the time, or, you know, you've got to be in every place? Is it just kind of, well, the food, simple, just how happy and how proud you are of your dishes that you've done, you know?
Everyone say, what is the best in the menu? I'm happy with everything going in the menu, you know? And every single dish going through the pass have to be amazing. Yesterday, Saturday, we were very busy in the pub, crazy. And we overcooked one piece of presa, it's a very good pork. And I said, you know, I went to the table and said, this is the first time trying presa. You are going to try the best, but need to wait a little bit, you know. And when they try, it was overcooked. And when they try the proper, it was like, oh, amazing, cry. Having 4 places is not easy, but it's driving me every day, you know. Wake up in the morning, go everywhere and see what is going on. It's nice.
Do you ever take time off?
I took 2 weeks. I didn't have 2 weeks in a row for like 6 years. And I went away. And I have to say that you really need 2 weeks off.
A year?
A year. 2 weeks off.
Definitely.
No, you can take weekends, you can take, you know, a week, 10 days. But those 2 weeks this year made a huge difference.
Is that because you come back full of new ideas and really excited?
No, you never disconnect.
Yeah.
But you really relax. You really feel like, wow, it's nice to
remember how that feels. Yeah.
Where did you go, if you don't mind me asking?
We have a lovely time in Sri Lanka. Running around, I had the most incredible curries, you know, curry for lunch, breakfast and dinner. Lovely place.
I'd love to go.
Lovely place.
Everyone is going to Sri Lanka.
Lovely people, you know. It's, yeah.
And it's so incredible. Cheap. Everything is so cheap and the food is absolutely amazing.
I just met a mother and the daughter and they cook curries. That was the best in the whole 9 days there. The simple 2 ladies cooking their kitchen, memory forever. Yeah, and then we go 6 days through Maldives to disconnect. Nothing to do, you know.
Turn the phone off.
That's the thing, nothing to do. I think it's like when people go on Aldi and they've got a rota. Do you know what I mean? They've got the bloody itinerary. And I'm just like, bloody hell, just let me sit on a beach and read a book. Yeah. You know, things like that. And I think when you live in a city, especially when you work in hospitality and catering, I think you're used to them long, 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 long days. So, like, even just reading a book for an hour, it's hard. Mm. You know what I mean? It shouldn't be. That's not what you're here for.
Yeah, I need to read more.
Me too.
But yeah, it's important to disconnect. It's important to have time off. And definitely.
Well, speaking of reading, you've got a new book, haven't you?
New book coming in May.
Tell us what it's all about.
It's Andalucía. It's the third for one series. The first one was Basque, Catalonia, now Andalucía. Being a lovely, lovely journey.
You got to eat a lot of free tapa. I'm coming with you on holiday next time.
I call research.
Yeah. I was thinking, because when I saw that book, I was like, thank God. Because every time, I've been there a couple of times. It's just marvellous, beautiful, beautiful people, beautiful place, very generous people.
Really open their house for you. That was amazing. You know? And something very special. I went to a convent. Well, those were nuns, they don't see anyone, you know, they are living to God. And I was able to get inside the convent. And I spent like 2 days, not in the convent, as you can imagine, not sleeping there with them. But I learned so much, you know, recipes. They showed me recipes maybe 200, 300 years old, writing. Wow. And I got one recipe. No, 2 recipes from them, I think.
Do they know?
Yeah.
I was going to say, just running out the back of the nunnery.
Yeah. That was incredible. But it's all about meeting people, just like we say with the products, you know, with the suppliers or the producers, to sit down with someone, cooking with someone, and just research is incredible.
Especially up in the world, isn't it?
It's the best job in the world, definitely. I was like, you crazy, you know, I just launched my book in October previous. Not this one, the one before. How you can get another book out? I said, because I love it. I love it. It's hard work. I know it's not easy. It's too many nights writing. But how much you learn is amazing. It's amazing. It's all about that. It's about those ladies, those nuns, you know, giving to you that knowledge for 200 years.
And you're passing it on.
And you're passing on. You're passing on. Hopefully, you know, sell well, but hopefully people get those books dirty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that. You want to get it covered, my grandma's Delia, covered in flour, covered in eggs.
I always say, if your book is dirty because you used
it, yeah.
Give it to me and I give you another one.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Too many books are just on the shelf, the cookbooks, and you're like, I want it. You need to use them. There's not too complicated. Things you can make and family things, Sunday things.
When my first book, I was in Brindisa, and my thing was like, you have to cook from my books. I don't want to put ingredients that you cannot get or recipe that you will never cook. You know, had to be easy, and you know, go to the corner shop, and you don't get chorizo, no, but you can get all the ingredients now. That was my goal, to people cook from my books. I don't want books to sit in there and be lovely.
That's important, because if it's not accessible and you're like, I'm going to make this, but I have to get that from Amazon because. You just can't buy.
You have to be.
Too expensive as well. Can you recommend to our listeners like a little gem where you'd go to get your produce, like as in personal, not just for your restaurants, like somewhere where you go and.
It's the problem when you, well, the good thing when you have restaurant is you just call the suppliers.
Yeah. Call Jose, listeners. It'll sort you out.
It's like, I want this, please. And, it's easy for me. Borough Market is still there. And you know, still more markets to go.
And that's another place you can go and just get the tastings, and you keep going around and
change a lot. It's still amazing, Borough Market. But I remember one talking about 15 years ago when I was working there. Still a very special place, but that time was really special for me. Seriously, I learned so much from Tony. Tony is the vegetable supplier, and Doug is, he should be now 80, I think.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's why...
All about mushroom, all about... Jose, come on. Jose, come on, try it. That Borough Market, still amazing, like we say. But
pretty touristy now.
It was a bit more touristy. But that time was like, wow. Really, a place to...
You're able to go in English because you like the try before you buy. Mate, we always talk about try before you buy. I don't care what shop. If you get that, I've been told to leave places. I was talking about cheese supplier. I went to see him in Cumbria, and he told me, he was like, no more.
No more.
He said no more. He said,
buy something first.
It's £25 a kilo, man. And you've had two bits of it. Come on. And I ended up walking out with some, you know, bit of cheddar when it went cheap.
Well, the good thing about here, you know, in London, the UK, you can get anything you want. That is incredible. It's incredible. Taste from all over the world. You know? I cook in my home. I cook Spanish normally. But I'm not very, you know, I go somewhere to try the best curries. I'm going to have that. In your doorstep is incredible.
Pretty special.
It's very special.
Very lucky.
It's very, very special.
So the whole, your story is there about learning so much and absorbing everything from the people that you meet. That's obviously hugely important to you. You obviously instill that to the team that you have here. So how was that kind of seeing young guys that are part of your team and you just kind of educating them?
Yeah, you have to. And it's why I love to be in my kitchens, because you have to pass your knowledge. You know, I'm learning quite a lot from the people coming to the kitchen as well, because they know new technique and things like that. But the knowledge I have about ingredients, about, you know, all these 25 years in a kitchen is the thing I want to give to them. you know, as much as I can. Because so many young kids, it's Charlie in the pub, and he is like 18, and he's just like sponge, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And just small things for them, small thing for me, for them, for him, it's just like, wow, chef, you know?
He looks and up to you, I'm sure, though.
Yeah?
He looks up to you. I mean, like, you're like Anna was to you when she kicked you up the ass. Do you know what I mean?
No. But no, I'm not that bad. I was quite, in some time of my life, I was really a strong chef. Like, I think, yeah.
You grew out of it.
I grew up with that. You know, it's just like, no, it's not the way to be. But they, no, you know, talking, for example, about Charlie, just so this guy is going to, he's going to do very well because he's really enthusiastic and
he's got a mention amazing. As well. He's going to be buzzing now. Yeah. Featuring
no
Jose featuring no, Charlie.
No. When definitely the kitchens and restaurant have to be a place to enjoy working and to be grumpy or to be not too polite. Definitely, because I live that one myself, being quite bossy sometimes. Definitely it's not a place to be. Another place you have to enjoy and be miserable and shouting to people definitely is not enjoyable. And if you are 16 hours working with someone, no, it's not a way. I think, want that Charlie to grow in the good way.
I think it's one of the only careers that you can learn 10 things every day. You could learn, you could not if you don't want to, but like, I think people see it as long shifts, hard work. Yeah, it is long shifts and hard work, but the way it's going now, hospitality, it's not becoming as much like that.
No,
and
like that.
You can learn, you can go in there and learn 5 techniques every day if you ask, because people, head chefs, sous chefs, whatever, want to teach people because it's hard to get staff.
It's hard to get, and it's nice to teach them and then go. It's like, oh, you are going now. But now it's not like it was, like you say, it's not, the chef is working 48 hours a week. That sounds a lot, but it's not like
it's 16. Not a lot. It's not a lot.
But I don't want those young people, I don't want Charlie and grow in that back way I was before. I want people to understand that it's a hard work, but it's really enjoyable. And working 16 hours, yeah, I'm working 16 hours many days, but I used to, but I don't want those young people to have that bad time. And people need to have family life, you know? It's important.
Very important.
It's very important. That, and it's looking after people well and enjoying it. And I'm telling you, you teach them and you pass your knowledge to people. Yeah, there's some people will go because I did the same thing, but so many people will respect you forever. And it's nice. It's nice. I teach someone's one technique or one whatever, or just my knowledge, and will be that person will remind so when he or she cook. So I learned this one from that crazy Spanish guy, and he's gonna be always with you. You know?
Yeah. Well, I hope Charlie does a podcast in about 17 years.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say.
He talks about them stove stories.
Yeah, it's good. Good. I'm happy. I'm in a very happy place at the moment. I do enjoy every single day. Sometimes it's hard, but as I see, because this year for me is too much to celebrate. No, 20 years here in London is my home.
20 years having a restaurant in London should be celebrated. Hell, it's ridiculous. It is, isn't it? And, like some don't even last 6 months.
And 25 years that my life is my job. No, and it's. And it's a happy, hopefully happy year for me. It's a lot to enjoy.
Absolutely. So what are some of your favourite restaurants that you kind of go back to time and time again?
London, many, I have to say. I love Angela Harnett. I love Peter Gordon. I love so many. It's like how you I feel, no? Yeah, it's so many to enjoy, I have to say. It's difficult for me to even to say. In Spain, it's you know, again, I go to El Cano as much as I can in Getaria in San Sebastian. I go to see my friends from Arzak Atrio in Cáceres, is two Michelin star, unbelievable food. I go to Sevilla and it's impossible to really to say.
You're the best tourist guide for restaurants I've ever met. I just imagine following Jose without him knowing, just following him into restaurants, just like, did he do a podcast with that guy? How you doing, man? I've heard this is nice.
You must email me, and I will. You know, I have few emails every day. Not every day, but a few a week, asking for places in Spain.
We talk about, like, in the future of doing a series of Yes Chef episodes just in Spain.
Why would I go next one to Spain?
I think we should take Jose.
Sevilla.
I think we should take Jose. We've got to take him. Us
Let's
four.
Go for lunch. Well, I'm going for lunch the 2nd of April. I'm going to Echevarri. Fly in the morning, back in the evening.
Oh, this is the rock star life. This is like...
Amigo, I'm telling you, it's not expensive.
It's not. It's cheaper to do that than go to Manchester, where I'm from.
Exactly.
It's £100 to Manchester and £38 to Budapest or whatever. You know, yeah. That's how cheap it is these days.
Oh, you do that, it's rock star life. It's not. It's just planned with time and it's cheaper.
I love this.
You know?
Get your Citroen Saxo.
I know. I'm getting rid of the car. I'm just going to be hitchhiking with Jose. I think we should just do a bit of a quick fire round because I think it's a brilliant way to end that section. Do you want to do a little quick fire if you don't mind?
We're going
to
throw some little questions at you and then whatever pops into your head, let it loose. Like, this is the first one. Top three foods you can't live without.
Food, I would say I need my olive oil, I need my paprika, and I need pimentón de la vera, no paprika. And the third thing, jamón. I have one plate of ham almost every day.
It's just getting better. Favorite food, guilty pleasure?
Fish and chips. Oh, it's filthy.
I like that. There you go.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I love it.
What about your biggest kitchen disaster?
A few of those. But when I was starting, definitely was in my brother's kitchen. I put the whole kitchen full of chocolate because I didn't cover the thing properly and was like chocolate all over.
Nice clean down, yeah, on your own. What was his what was his reaction when he came in?
It's all right.
Oh, no.
That was bad. That was really bad.
So the three bits of kit in the kitchen you can't live without?
Definitely mortar, paste and mortar, mm-hmm. You say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Really need to have a good knife. And the third one, I have a the ice cream machine, have to be.
Oh, nice. Ooh,
that's
like that
when they've all the chefs geek out a bit. I like that.
So if you had to eat the same meal every day, What would that one meal be?
Will be my mum lentils with chorizo. Simple, yummy. Definitely I can do that every day.
And the last question, if you could cook one meal for anybody, who would it be?
Will it be one person or few in the same table?
You know what, for you, Jose, because I had such a good day, have as many
Picasso.
As you bloody want.
Picasso there is going to be...
nice.
Yeah, have to be. I love art and he's Picasso with Maria Cala and Paco de Lucía with the guitar. That will be...
Can we come?
I was going to say, what a party. Yeah. There's a lift for you.
Yeah, that will be... I don't think it's going to happen. But hopefully up there, if we go...
One day.
I will cook for them.
Amazing. Jose, thank you so much for talking to us.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Amazing. Always is good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, Yes Chef listeners. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Mr. Jose Pizarro, nicest man in restaurant history.
Very nice dude. Also, as well, taking you back to Andalusia and all that kind of stuff, the recommendations, we are going to go on holiday with Jose. So, keep in touch with us and we'll maybe take you as well.
I think you've had a bit of a tear in your eye at one point. Why? Oh, you just don't, the emotion involved in that.
I don't know. I think when someone's so into it and his knowledge, when he said about, his favourite place is go to Angela Hartnett's for her pasta, I was thinking, all right, Jose, let's go to the bloody greasy spoon, me and you, lad.
Speaking about being into it, tell us how you feel. Like, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Bon app.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.